like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want
let
is to grow. Are smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air
and
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Ooh.
They feed all.
It's Garden Talk Live, hour number two. Welcome back, or welcome to hour number two. I'm Steve Garner, along with Dr. Rachel Spaeth in the KSRO greenhouse. Rachel is the plant horticulturalist at the Wolfskill Experimental Gardens. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, Wolfskill Experimental Orchard.
Located in Winters, California. That's part of the UC Davis Horticultural Department. So she's in charge of the prunus collection, the apricots, the nectarines, the peaches, the plums, even cherries.
Cherries,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You name it. If it's got pits, it's in your domain.
It's in my domain.
And
yeah.
Speaking of apricots, which we did last hour, our discussion piqued Pete's interest. Pete from Petaluma would like to chat with you a bit about apricots. Pete, welcome to Garden Talk Live. You're on with Rachel.
Good morning. How are you all?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Great. I've got an old Royal Blenheim cross that I planted here in Petaluma about 40 years ago, I guess. And looks like we're going to have a bumper crop down here this year with a tree.
Oh, lucky dog. So, rub it in, Pete.
I love that.
This tree has, I mean, short of it raining solidly when it's in bloom and all that, I mean, this thing has always given us just an amazing crop and big fruit, too.
Oh, you know? Nice. Yeah, that Royal Blenheim, it has really good flavor. It's great for, you know, drying or processing, eating fresh, and I'm glad that it's a reliable producer for you down there in Petaluma.
We mostly dry them because,
okay.
I mean, God, they're so soft and delicate when they, you know, even the ones that fall out of the tree, we clean them and pick the rocks out of them and dry them.
Nice. So what do you like to do for your drying process? Do you have like a big dryer with racks and fans, or what do you use to dry your fruits?
We're not that sophisticated. We just use the oven.
Cool. That's perfect.
Oh. And another quick shot, I'm related to the sackets that were real early pioneers of the apricots up there in the Winters area. So I spent a fair amount of time of my young years up there running around Winters.
Oh, that's spectacular.
There sure aren't a lot of apricots up there anymore. That's kind of all disappeared now.
Yeah, a lot of the apricots have disappeared, and even there used to be a big Mumei farm up there, which is the Japanese apricot that they used to make the umeboshi, and there was a big family farm up there for years there, too, and I believe that they have sold that property now, too.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I remember when I was a kid, we'd go fishing in Buda Creek, and we'd row across the river. The Tufts had a big ranch up there down in the flats, and he had peaches, and oh, boy, those things were just, we'd cut them up in little pieces and pour fresh cream on them and just sit there and go crazy.
Oh, that sounds delectable.
Well, you have a real connection with Winters then, Pete.
I do. Yeah. I made a little bit of dough in my younger years up there cutting in the cutting shed when it was 102 degrees. And,
uh-huh.
You know, it was
good memories.
Well, that's when you wouldn't get dehydrated so quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Well, what we do is we go jump in Poudre Creek, which that'll wake you up. And when it's that hot, and that water was always cold because it comes out of the bottom of Berryessa Dam. So,
yeah.
Ooh.
Well, it's really funny. I just gave a pathology tour to the pathology students from UC Davis the other day, and it got to be 97, and that's what they were going to go do at the end of their tour. They got all sticky with peaches from walking through the peach collection, and they were going to go jump in the creek.
In Poudre Creek?
Yep, that's exactly what they were going to go do.
Students are still doing it.
They're still doing it, yep. Tradition carries on.
Yeah. Some things never change.
It's very true.
Well, I'll tell you, you probably have one of the finest, longest-running success stories with the Blenheim apricot of anybody we've ever heard from on this radio show.
Absolutely. You must have the sweet spot.
It's sitting, I'm on the west side of town. It's a pretty sandy, loamy soil, so it drains good.
Uh-huh.
And it's right up against the side of the house with a southwestern exposure.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it. I put it in, it was a whip. God, I don't know. We bought this house in 83, and I put it in shortly after that. So, yeah.
Very
and it
nice.
Just, it's healthy. It hasn't gotten rot anywhere, you know, and it keeps producing. So I'll just keep my fingers crossed.
Wonderful. Boy,
okay. Well, I'm waiting for Petaluma Pete to extend an invitation to us to visit him in Petaluma.
I'll bring the cream.
I'll drop some cots by at the station for you.
Yeah. Well, that would be great. Thank you for sharing these wonderful thoughts.
And I also, I've been listening to your show since it started, so I'm always looking forward to Saturday mornings when I'm in town to listen to your show. So there you go.
You made our day. Thank you so much,
Thank you
Pete.
So
Good
much,
to hear
Pete.
From you. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Wow, now there's the apricot story.
I love that apricot story. That is magnificent. What a great little nanoclimate for that just tree to just thrive and be a delight year after year.
And UC students still getting sticky with peach juice and still jumping in the creek.
And still jumping in the creek. Yep, absolutely.
Jim from Santa Rosa, California. Jim sent us an email, but I don't think we've received his email yet. Have we, Rachel? Do you see that?
I don't see anything.
About olala berries?
No? I don't see anything about olala
berries. We don't have an email from you yet, okay. Pete, Jim, but why don't you go ahead and describe the issue?
Well, I have a lot of yellow rust on my olala berries, and I've gone through and cut out almost all the vines. I have more to do that are infected.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what I can do after that.
Okay. So you have a yellow rust that's on your berries, and that's so it makes those little like. They're like kind of roundish spots. Is that what I'm thinking of? The right thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say you have to dig out the whole plant, and I'm hoping that's not necessary.
Yeah, I think that some people will dig out the whole plant because it affects the kind of the whole thing, and it'll cause severe defoliation and your canes will be weak and then your berries aren't strong. There are some treatments for rust like that you could use that are similar to the treatments that you would use for rust in roses, but I would be careful with using some of them because the berries are so soft on those that if you spray those, you're going to end up eating those pesticides. So I would stay away from the copper-based products for that. I'm not sure if this would work, but I think that the potassium sorbate that we've been talking about for peach leaf curl would probably also work for this. It seems to be the same kind of fungus in the same like category, and they have used it for rust and black spot on roses. So you might be able to use something like that on there. What I would do is I would spray them with that, just the leaves, and see if it makes that fungus turn brown and die off.
And it's interesting because most people think of potassium sorbate as a preservative
right. And
not a curative, but you feel it might be a curative?
I think it might be curative and at least knock the fungus back enough so that you can get some healthy canes to grow through that. So the products that we use are BeeSafe, BeeSafe. Mm-hmm. That one also has a miticide and a scale product in it, so it's kind of like a trifecta. It'll get rid of aphids and stuff like that. The other one is called All Phase by Circadian Crop Solutions. And then there is food grade potassium sorbate that people get for canning industry. And I don't know exactly how you would mix that up to apply it for something like this if it was a smaller scale application.
And Rachel, what do you think about using potassium bicarbonate, like common baking soda?
Like common baking soda?
Yeah. And they said you can mix a tablespoon of baking soda with a teaspoon of horticultural oil or vegetable oil and a gallon of water. And that might, they said, also possibly work.
I mean,
well.
I think that that's a product that people typically have in their cupboards mm-hmm. already, and I don't think it would hurt to try that.
Yeah.
I think that since it's readily available and easy to access and not going to damage your fruit to
and
make it so that you can eat it.
And a copper fungicide, would that work?
A copper fungicide would work, but with the soft berries, then you're going to risk ingesting it yourself.
Got
and
it. Got
and
it.
Then... you know, the bees are going to be active and stuff around it. So I would probably avoid the copper products.
Okay.
But do you want to give the recipe for that?
Oh, if he wants to use the baking soda? You can mix a tablespoon of baking soda with a teaspoon of horticultural grade oil or vegetable oil and then a gallon of water.
Okay.
And that will be safe, at
that
least.
That would be safe, yeah.
And then rust is tough, isn't
rust
it?
Rust is really tough, yeah. Because it has all those little... they call them pustules, I guess, are the little things. They're all sporulating all the time. And so when you remove those leaves, you're, you know, scattering the spores more and stuff like that. So it might even work to spray the plant with the baking soda and do soil drench.
With the same drench.
You know, with the rest of the gallon of water that you have around the crown of the plant.
Okay.
I think those would be some decent things for you to try there, Jim, and then just maybe call us back in a couple weeks and let us know if you're starting to see that they're turning brown and falling off or what kind of results you're having with that.
And Jim, if you don't mind, would you please resend your question and photo to us, steve@ksro.com, because for some reason we didn't receive it.
Okay, I'll do that. And I was going to do this application. I'm pretty much at the end of my harvest.
Okay.
So I don't have that concern.
Yeah. You wouldn't have the concern with the copper then because you wouldn't be eating any of the fruit after that.
Correct.
Okay.
And I was also thinking of experimenting and trying some of the 35% vinegar on some.
35% vinegar might kill off your plants.
Oh, okay.
I mean, isn't the dilution usually 3 or 4% or so?
Yeah, the dilution's usually like 3 or 4%. I think that would be like if you don't want your blackberries to grow in an area.
Okay.
So if you do try that, try it very sparingly and only on a couple of leaves at first to see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I appreciate it very much.
You bet, yeah. Jim. Keep us in the loop, okay?
Yeah, thank you for the
call. I will.
Take care. And please email us again that photo and question. We'd like to make sure we hang on to that.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. 707-636-1350. Dr. Rachel Spaeth is in the greenhouse this morning, and that means great garden talk. And a confidence builder when you talk to Dr. Spaeth. She's a problem solver. If you're having any issues with your garden, it doesn't matter whether they're edibles, vegetables, fruits, perennials, shrubs, you name it, or you'd like to have a more in-depth conversation about the efficacies of certain fertilizers or fungal treatments, Dr. Spaeth is your gal. 707-636-1350. We have open lines now for Dr. Spaeth, or you can shoot her an email, steve@ksro.com. Coming up at 11:05, we will be talking about the big annual Tofu and Soy Festival coming up, the biggest in Northern California, on the Good Food Hour with Emily Ashlam. And then Shelley Kaldonsky and Betsy Fisher from the Santa Rosa Culinary Cafe, one of the best, if not the best, community college culinary programs in the United States. Betsy's been with the program 26 years, just retired a couple of weeks ago. We've invited her into the kitchen to talk about this last quarter century.
This week on My Sonoma Deals, get a $100 experience at Martin Ray Vineyards and Winery for just $50. Visit their beautiful location and enjoy an exclusive Laguna Ridge flight tasting for four guests. Explore exceptional terroir-driven wines while soaking in the scenery from their pavilion overlooking the rolling hills of the Russian River Valley. It's the perfect spot for a relaxed afternoon with friends. Grab your $100 voucher for only $50 today at MySonomaDeals.com.
Comfort shouldn't be a question when summer arrives.
Hi, I'm Ernest Ungaro.
And I'm Don Ungaro. Whether it's heating, cooling, plumbing, solar, or electrical, we're here to help.
At Ungaro & Sons, we've been helping local homeowners stay cool for over 90 years. Now we've made it even easier to get ahead of the heat with our air conditioning summer readiness score. Answer a few quick questions and see how your system is performing in just 30 seconds. An underperforming system can run longer, use more energy, and struggle to keep your home comfortable. Knowing how your system is performing now can help you stay ahead of those issues. It's a simple, straightforward way to understand if your home is ready for summer. And if it's not, you'll know before the heat puts your system to the test. Get your AC score today at ungaroandsons.com/ready. That's ungaroandsons.com/ready.
Thank you for trusting Ungaro & Sons to keep your home running smoothly.
Zappelli's Auto Body and Collision stands for trust, family, and quality collision repair in Sonoma County.
Hi, I'm Samantha Zappelli. My father started our family legacy in 1958. For almost seven decades, my family has been proudly serving Sonoma County.
And I'm Samantha's daughter, Brooke. As a third generation, I am proud to continue the Zappelli tradition.
KSRO welcomes the real change with Jeff Gilman from the Redwood Gospel Mission. On the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at noon, Jeff and his guests explore the realities of homelessness, breaking down stigma, understanding the paths that lead there, and inspiring our community to get involved and be part of the solution. The Real Change with Redwood Gospel Mission on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at noon on KSRO.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
It's KSRO. It is Garden Talk Live on the first Saturday of June. I'm Steve Garner, along with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. And April would like to chat with you about her planter box.
All right. Good morning,
April, and welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. It's good to talk to you guys because I know you have a lot of expertise and I don't. So I just filled up my planter box with some nice garden soil. Of course, I did the thing where you layer it on, but now I'm ready to plant. So I want to make the best use of my area as possible. So I know there's complementary planting that you can do. So that's what I, that's my question is, what are good complementary veggies?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So there's a good companions can be like... beans and squash and corn. That's like the three sisters that was the indigenous and still is kind of the trifecta there. I think there's a thing where maybe Steve can correct me if he knows. Tomatoes and squash don't necessarily like each other.
I don't know why, but they don't.
They don't. Yeah, they don't do well together. And there's one other one. It's... well, maybe it's like eggplant.
Oh, something with eggplant.
Something with eggplant. I think those nightshades can all kind of grow together, which is going to be eggplant, peppers, and tomatoes.
Okay.
And basil works well with those.
Oh, basil works well with nightshades.
So basil will work
tomatoes.
Well. Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. So companion plants, I know that there's a really good chart in Pam Pierce's Golden Gate Gardening book.
Do you think she'd have stuff online?
She would have some stuff online. I think that, okay, so tomatoes don't like corn. Oh, and also potatoes are a nightshade, but potatoes and tomatoes don't necessarily grow well together.
Yeah, it's usually tomatoes and eggplant.
Yeah.
They definitely dislike being close to each other.
Yes.
Because they're part of the same Solanaceae family, and then I guess some type of verticillium wilt could be transferred between
true.
The two. I
yep.
think that's
yeah,
part of
the
issue.
Yeah, you could get some disease sharing there.
But, okay, this is an odd question, but what if they're at different ends of the planter box? It still would be bad?
Oh, if you have them at different ends. Well, how big is the planter box again? Remind me.
Well, it's only 3x6, so.
Oh, 3x6, but you would have it like they'd be kind of 6 feet apart or 4 feet apart, and you'd maybe have something in the middle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could do a slow transition that way, where you would go like beans on one end, or you could do your eggplant on one end, and then do some basil, some carrots, maybe cucumber, and then go to eggplant on the opposite side. I think that could work.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about is it impractical to plant a melon in a planter box like that? It's 3 feet high. So.
3 feet high. Well, if it's going to be like a cantaloupe or a honeydew, maybe one of the baby ones would work okay. You're just going to end up with not having enough root volume to make a big watermelon or a big cantaloupe. One of the types of squash that I like to do in small containers like that is a type of butternut squash that's called honey nut. It was specifically bred to be a smaller size squash, and it doesn't ramble quite as far.
Uh-huh.
So I do those in a 3x3 container.
Okay. So back to the melon, though. So if I plant a smaller size melon, and it'd probably drape over the side, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely drape over the side. Or if you had like a trellis structure with it, you could trellis it up, and then the fruits you could balance in like like nylons or pantyhose.
Oh,
Time to the fence so that the weight's not on the vine, but it's, supported.
Sure. Yeah, right.
I've seen where people repurpose brassieres that way, too. kind of funny to have your melons hanging on your fence out there.
people walk by and go, nice
oh, my
melon.
Goodness, what is she doing out there?
Oh, gosh.
You got to keep them on their toes.
Exactly.
Well, the conversation is deteriorating at this point. Did Rachel help you this morning, April?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Okay. Go forth and propagate.
Yeah. All right. You guys have a great day.
You bet. Great talking to you, and thank you so much for calling us this morning. I'm glad you got something out of it. And good laugh, too.
We got to have fun with gardening because sometimes it's tough.
Let's head down to one of the coolest little places in Sonoma County. It's a little town called Pengrove. You ever been there, Rachel?
I have been, yes.
Ed is there and would like to chat about poppies. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had a bumper crop of California poppies. I don't plant them. But they shot up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful. So now that it's towards the end of their season, How do I cut? I want them to come back.
Sure.
How do I get rid of them? Because they're sort of just like existing right now. Just they're brown. And do I pull them out by the roots or do I cut them with I want them to come back.
Sure.
I don't want to pull them out. If I pull them out, I don't want them, I want them to come back.
Yeah.
So.
I would probably cut them off at the soil surface and then shake them upside down really good so that all of their seeds kind of disperse.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Chances are they will have dispersed. Poppies are so funny. Like, I used to try to grow a bed of poppies at the Burbank Gardens, and everywhere that I would intentionally plant them, they wouldn't grow, but they would grow like 10 feet away at the edges of all the beds where those seeds would roll from the leaf blowers blowing them around.
Uh-huh.
So end up with a good seed load.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea how they got to where they got, but I've got them and they're beautiful, but they're right where my tomato plants used to be. But,
oh, sure. Yeah.
All right.
You can go ahead and just pull them out, shake them upside down so that the seeds will disperse.
Great.
And they'll probably come back for you next year. in a different spot.
Thank you
maybe.
Very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thanks, Ed. Good hearing from you down in beautiful Pengrove, California. It looks like Jim's photo did come across the rust that he was speaking about on his berries. And a good photo, too.
Oh, that's a great photo. Yeah. Yep. Wow, that is a lot of rust. You have a lot of rust on those canes. Thank you for this picture, Jim. Yeah. I can definitely see the depth of your problem now. And yeah, those ones are rough. I mean, it seems like this is a more susceptible cultivar to that specific fungus. And that might be a really big challenge to overcome on this. Mm-hmm. You could try the treatments that we talked about, but it looks like you're going to have so much of a spore load here that it is going to be kind of in the soil pretty strongly there. You might need to find a more resistant cultivar of berries for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the bad news. You could certainly try the treatment options, but it almost seems systemic at this point, doesn't it,
Rachel?
It seems
systemic, yeah, because I'm seeing the lesions on the stems as well. I see that the fruit is a little crumbly there towards the tips. I mean, it's got all of the classic symptoms that you would see, and the leaves are just absolutely covered in those pustules.
Yeah.
So usually for a treatment, we would want to treat that at the threshold when you see just a couple, like three or four of those pustules on a leaf to try to mitigate it. This is beyond the economic threshold, I would say. If you were commercially growing, I would take that all out.
Okay, Jim. So rethink that until instead of maybe putting a lot of time and energy and effort in something that just may not be controllable at this point. 707-636-1350. If you would like a live one-on-one all about you conversation with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. She is so happy to help you with any plant questions, problems, resources, you name it. It's at her fingertips, 707-636-1350. You could also reach her via email and include a photo or two if you'd care to have a plant diagnosed or identified. Also an insect or fungal problem. She's got it all. That's steve@ksro.com. Don't forget, Emily Ash Lamb, right around the corner at 1105 in the KSRO kitchen with me.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Thinking about starting your GLP-1 journey? Go to orderlymeds.com/radio. Get access to proven GLP-1 medications, licensed providers, and a plan built for real life. All online. No guesswork, no wasted time. Just real people. Real answers, real momentum, and support that actually lasts. Join thousands already seeing results. Start now at orderlymeds.com/radio. Orderlymeds.com/radio. Individual results may vary, not medical advice. Eligibility required. See site for details.
Right now on My Sonoma Deals, experience the iconic Alexander Valley Vineyards. For a limited time, get a $100 gift card for $50 to Alexander Valley Vineyards at MySonomaDeals.com. Use your voucher for award-winning estate Cabernet or a visit to the largest wine cave in the county. From the historic Wetzel Estate to scenic Hillside Rose, this deal offers the ultimate local escape. Grab half-price savings at MySonomaDeals.com.
Bedrosian's Tile and Stone is offering a special promotion. Right now, you can save 40% on select in-stock slabs. Visit Bedrosian's designer showroom in Santa Rosa to explore their wide range of slabs, including luxurious quartzite, durable granite, exquisite marble, stunning quartz, and amazing porcelain. This offer is available while supplies last, so hurry in to take advantage of the 40% discount on select in-stock slabs. Bedrosian's offers the largest selection of imported slabs and the most diverse collection of tile in the North Bay, as well as engineered wood and vinyl. And Bedrosian's certified showroom specialists will help you bring your dream space to life. An elegant new kitchen, bath, fireplace, or engineered floor from Bedrosian's can make a significant difference to your space. Remember, the 40% discount on select in-stock slabs is only available while supplies last. Visit Bedrosian's Tile and Stone at 700 Stony Point Road to explore their unbelievable showroom and take advantage of this special promotion today.
Looking for the perfect Father's Day gift? Skip the socks and ties this year and give Dad something personal from Shutterbug Camera Shop. Turn your favorite family photos into custom canvas prints, stunning metal prints, framed enlargements, photo books, mugs, and one-of-a-kind gifts dads really will treasure. Fishing trips, graduations, vacations, the grandkids, Shutterbug helps you turn memories into something unforgettable. And for film lovers, Shutterbug still develops film. From 35mm to medium format and black and white or color, this expert team can process your film and bring those classic moments back to life with beautiful quality and care. Plus, Sonoma County Fair season is here. If you're entering photography in the fair, Shutterbug can help with all the official mounting requirements needed to submit your work. From proper sizing and mounting to presentation, they'll make sure your photos are ready to impress. Celebrate Dad. Preserve memories. Create something meaningful. Visit Shutterbug on Santa Rosa Avenue in Santa Rosa or online.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a fairly clear and cool overnight, a weekend cool down begins as generally sunny skies give us daytime highs in the low 80s. Later in the evening, we can look to fairly clear skies to leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Looking ahead, temps should drop into the low 70s by Monday afternoon. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
It's Garden Talk Live. As always, Saturday morning, I'm Steve Garner along with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. Don't wait for an impersonal response from some website who God knows where it's located. Deal locally with us. We're right here in Sonoma County. Northern California is our beat, but anywhere that you're listening to the show from, we would love to hear from you this morning. AJ, welcome to Garden Talk Live. You're on with Dr. Spaeth. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Here are my questions. So I have fire blight on my apple tree, and it's into the, I think it destroyed a lot of the crop because it got into the spur wood, okay, the fruiting wood, right? And I think it's into probably or moving into the, you know, the scaffold branches. So my question, I mean, like, how much can you prune out? Like, what would you prune out this time of year?
Yeah, that can be kind of the trick.
I'm sorry, what else did you say, AJ? We missed it.
Or do nothing.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely do something. This has been a particularly bad year for fire blight, and the it will spread throughout the cambium of your tree. That's the tissue where the sap blows through your tree. So you want to take a look at your tree, and wherever you see those lesions on the main scaffold branches, and you want to go below that by at least 6 to 8 inches when you're making your cuts. And then take a look at the cross-section of your stem that you've cut and see if you still see little flecks that look like rust around that stem on the inside. Because that's the active bacterium that's causing that problem. And if you still see those flecks, you haven't gotten back far enough. And it can be a killer for sure of a lot of different things, especially pears and any things that are highly susceptible apples. And this was a particularly bad year for it. So, I mean, if you cut that out, then you can give it some fertilizer to try to get it to bounce back, reduce the crop load if you have any fruit that are left on it. I know, yeah, it's a pollen-transmitted bacterium, so unfortunately a lot of the flower blossoms will end up getting hit with it, and then it causes twig dieback from there. So, and it was just a really bad year for it. So you can try fertilizing it throughout the year to get it to grow through it a little bit more vigorously, but definitely try to cut out as much of it as you can, and you might have to consider replacing the tree.
Yeah, eventually, I assume that. Now, So, and I think it's either my Fuji or my pink lady.
Okay.
That really got it. And so, yeah, I thought my crop was going to be good, and you're right. All my blossoms got hit, and I only have a few apples, so I don't expect a great crop.
Yeah.
And so it's pruning for this time of season and then be able to treat in the dormant season for any kind of fungicide.
Yeah, but it's not a fungicide. So it's Erwinia orlova is the name of the organism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And oh, it's Amylarova. and it's a bacterium, so you actually need like an antibiotic for it, and they don't really have a lot of those that are approved for usage for home gardeners. There are a couple of products that they have on the market for large-scale commercial growers and people with licenses. It's not necessarily a great or easy thing to treat as a home gardener. There may be like an arborist company that could come out and do it, but with it being something like a pink lady, that's a pretty common apple that you might be able to just get a replacement for.
Right. I was just going to graft on it. But when you say license, you mean like a QAC, QAL?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have that. So.
Oh, well, if you have that, then you might have access to more chemistries than other people.
Okay, so I could ask around a little bit. Because I hear, like, spinosas or something like that is both.
There were two that we had come up with last time that I was on. There is the... It's a streptomycin, I want to say, was one of them.
Okay.
And then the other one was... another thing that was similar to that, but I think it began with an A. Mm-hmm. Both of them got emergency approval by the EPA for walnut blight and for an almond disease. Mm-hmm. And they weren't necessarily available in our county. But
that was the problem.
Yeah. We did find that they were available in Solano County over by where I'm at.
True.
Yeah, okay. The streptomycin. It was called Fertilome.
Fertilome.
Yeah.
Right.
Fertilome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I understand that. But my almond or my walnut definitely got a hit with this year, and I am going to take it out. It's not doing well.
Yeah.
One last question. So I have a plum apricot. So is that a plumcot?
Plumcot, yeah.
And this year I got a better crop than last year. Last year I got, I think, one or two.
Uh-huh.
They tasted great.
Sure.
This year, I got a better crop, you know, due to probably the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But they got, and I don't know what would have caused them to crack. So the skins got really, like a brain.
Sure.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
And then they were mealy, which was a bummer.
Yeah.
So they didn't, their flavor was kind of okay, but they got mealy. So I'm not sure, and my ground is fairly moist. Still.
Yeah, I think that it was probably that the last, not the previous rainstorm, but the really big one that we had right before that.
Mm-hmm.
That is what caused the proliferation of the fire blight and also made our fruit do a lot of swelling, cracking, and then getting that mealy texture. It just didn't form those bonds on the inside as well. Yeah, we're at the mercy of the weather.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to verify and just be sure what caused it. All right, great.
Sure, and you're not the only person with that problem. I'm sure that it's going to be consistent across Sonoma County.
And
you're not alone.
I was listening. I knew I wasn't alone.
But, no. Misery loves company is what we say on Garden Talk. So tell us, actually, if you go a treatment plan, let us get back to us and tell us what you've decided to do.
Yeah, especially as a person with a spray license who understands those chemistries, it would be good to have your opinion and value that.
Well, I will tell you this. Okay, so I'm also kind of a lazy gardener because, you know, time and all that kind of stuff, right? Perfect timing, all that. So this year I did get in a couple sprayings. I think I used what I have left of some copper in the dormant season. And honestly, I did not get P peach leaf curl on my nectarine and my peach as much, and I had a peach that I thought was really going to give up the ghost. Mm-hmm. They actually came back. They're producing a little bit. We'll see if it really makes it to the end. But, you know, then I got the fire blight so bad, so I thought that was interesting.
Sure.
And that my pear, also my pear is pretty clean, too.
Huh.
So I was kind of amazed by that, and I did some hard pruning on my pear late because I needed to, and then I'm trying some grafting on it. So I'll tell you how it goes.
All right. Okay. Thank you for keeping us in the loop.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so that was my observation.
Thank you.
Anyway, have a great day and the rest of the weekend. Thank you.
Always great to hear from you, AJ. Wonderful. And a great summation of what she's been trying to do.
Oh, yeah, this is great because she's got a lot of different kinds of fruit trees and is sharing the experience that a lot of other people have right now.
Donna, you're coming up next from Windsor. Robert from Santa Rosa, stand by. Diane from Kenwood, we know you're out there and we're not going to forget you.
Hey, Sonoma County, George Adair here with Cross Country Mortgage, online at georgeadair.com. The real estate market is heating back up, and mortgage rates are finally coming down off their peaks, creating a window of opportunity you don't want to miss. Whether you're looking to refinance, tap into home equity, or buy your next property, we've got you covered. Get started at georgeadair.com. From conventional loans to alternative income options, I'll help you find the right fit for your home purchase or refinance goals. The market is shifting. Smart moves now can pay off big later. Let's build your strategy with a free, personalized consultation. Schedule a one-on-one meeting or call online at georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com. Let's get you started.
GeorgeADAIR.com. Cross Country Mortgage NMLS 3029 and GeorgeAdair NMLS number 245370. Licensing info at NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval.
Santa Rosa Diesel is your destination for everything diesel. Santa Rosa Diesel services all light-duty diesel vehicles and equipment. Santa Rosa Diesel is Sonoma County's diesel specialist in engine diagnostics and repair, oil changes, brakes, AC service, even pre-purchase inspections. The pros at Santa Rosa Diesel have almost 100 years combined experience in diesel fuel systems. If your check engine light is on, Santa Rosa Diesel will pull the code for you for free, let you know what the problem is, and what it's going to take to fix it. That's right, if your check engine light is on, Santa Rosa Diesel will pull the code for you for free. Also, with every oil change, you get a free safety inspection. Santa Rosa Diesel is your destination for everything diesel. Come to Santa Rosa Diesel for advice, diesel fuel injection sales and service, or when your diesel vehicle needs repair. 3649 Standish Avenue in Santa Rosa. Online at srdiesel.com. srdiesel.com.
Hey, what's up? It's your old friend Dirt. Yeah, the guy making your car look dusty and dull. Do me a favor. Avoid the four Love car wash locations between Santa Rosa and Rohnert Park. Seriously, with their next level wash tech, free vacuums, and unlimited packages, they're built to destroy me. A visit to Love Car Wash not only erases all my hard work, but with their cutting-edge protectants like Graphene and Ceramic Extreme, come on, how am I going to do my job? And now, it's even worse. They're offering 30% off per month for your first 3 months on their top wash packages. 30%? For 3 months? How am I supposed to survive that?
Right now at Love Car Wash, get 30% off per month for your first 3 months on our top unlimited wash packages. Unlimited washes, free vacuums, premium shine. Visit LUVCarWash.com. That's LUVCarWash.com.
The name is Love. So where's the love for dirt? Where's the love?
News, talk, community. KSRO.
We can segue into this next question because it's germane to the fire blight discussion we just had. Hi, Dr. Spaeth. Please say once again how to dispose of fire blight cuts. Should they go in the green can of the Recology? Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, don't put it there. We gotta send that to the landfill, unfortunately. Burning is also a valid thing, but we don't, it's almost fire season now. We shouldn't burn anything here. So sterilization is very important between cuts on your trees. So you want to sanitize your pruners with bleach solution or Lysol, or I use the 90% rubbing alcohol. Now, I like the rubbing alcohol because it's a little less hard on the pruners. The bleach will end up rusting your pruning shears, and then you just have to oil them more afterwards. But I often, if I'm pruning Fireblight, I have like three pairs of pruners with me, and then I'm constantly like dunking and grabbing a new pair, and that's how I can move around a tree more quickly, is just by having that receptacle next to me pretty close. But yeah, it the bacteria will survive composting, even commercial, at the high temperatures that they'll get, so I would avoid putting it.
So put them in your trash can,
trash bin,
your garbage bin.
Yep.
And you can bag them and put them in there, but don't put them in the green compostable Recology cans.
True.
Okay? Thank you for bringing that question to our attention. Mm-hmm. Donna from Windsor, it is your turn on Garden Talk Live with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. Good morning, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
I have a question about planting in pots.
Okay.
What is the average root depth for most veggies and herbs?
Okay, sounds like a Jeopardy question,
Dr.
Spaeth.
It does sound like a Jeopardy question. So herbs have more shallow roots than most veggies. And I guess it kind of depends on which vegetable you're looking at. I would say the average depth might be 18 to 24 inches, but it depends on your soil type. In a pot, you're using like a mixed soil that's not native soil, so it'll go, you know, down to whatever the bottom is. But if you're planting in something that's like a 3 foot deep sort of thing, your roots probably aren't going to go down that far.
No, I'm thinking more of like on the patio.
Sure.
You know, tomatoes.
Okay.
Chard. I know probably the depth of those two root systems are different.
Sure, right? Yeah. So a tomato can do like a good like 5-gallon pot. You can grow a pretty decent tomato in a 5-gallon pot. Chard could actually be a little shorter. You could do those little window boxes with chard in them, and they won't get as big of leaves as they would have if you'd put it in something deeper. There's quite a few, they bred cucumbers now that work really well in containers. And one of our favorite things to grow is the little lunchbox peppers. They're like little sweet mini bell peppers. They do just fine in a 5-gallon pot.
Okay, so I'm thinking more like things that would be like a foot deep.
Yeah.
Well, you could use those. The plants just wouldn't produce as large a fruit as if they were in a deeper pot.
Yeah, exactly. So smaller varieties like cherry tomatoes are going to work better than a big heirloom sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The little mini cucumbers will work better than the big Armenians would work in something like that. Even the honey nut squash that I talked about earlier, we grow those in containers at my house, and they do just fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
All right, that's it.
Great question.
All right, Donna from
Everybody
Windsor.
In an apartment will thank you for that question.
That's a really good. We've never had that specific question
it's
on Garden Talk.
It's a great question.
It is a great question. Let's head over to Kenwood. Diane has a question for us this morning. Diane, welcome to the program. You're on with Dr. Rachel Spaeth. Is this Diane? Hello, Diane. Oh, Diane. Okay, Diane is no longer with us. Oh, and I hate to say it that way.
Diane can call back.
Let's take Robert's call. Robert from Santa Rosa, welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Garden Talk. I'm awestruck, you know. And I have a couple comments.
Okay.
As far as companions go, Steve, you said misery loves company. Well, there's a book called Carrots Love Tomatoes.
Oh.
I don't know who the author is.
Carrots Love Tomatoes.
Carrots Love Tomatoes, and the next one in the series was Roses Love Garlic.
Oh, okay. Carrots love tomatoes and roses love garlic.
Yeah, that's like a 1984 publication, perhaps, but it was incredible. My uncle actually was growing pot next to the fairgrounds, and he had a tomato carrot pot, which they had the same signature from the sky, so can't ever, you know.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well, you can still get the book, by the way. It's called Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riott, R-I-O-T-T-E. You can buy it used at several different sites.
Cool.
Right on. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you were talking about a mound, and I remember it was some kind of Indian tradition where they build a mound on the detritus, and then they plant three squash. Oh, they put one fish in it, then three squash, and then a steak for the beans, and it goes to town.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, two more issues. Your new band name is Melons on the Fence, featuring Barry Goose.
Definitely Melons on the Fence.
Thank you, Robert.
One more thing. I take the bus, and everywhere I'm going, it's like there's grass and there's beautiful dandelions and bees everywhere, and then these landscape crews come in and mow them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I remember that daisy lady from a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, stop. And I'm throwing myself in front of the mower. Save the bees.
We're out of time. Robert, thank you. I think that's a good way to close Garden Talk for today.
I think it is.
Don't you think save the bees is a good mantra?
It is.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner. Don't go away. I think we're not going to go away. Hold on a second.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stanley Jacobs of the Jacobs Center for Cosmetic Surgery in Healdsburg, and I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Cusano.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cusano, craniofacial and aesthetic plastic surgeon with extensive experience in aesthetic and reconstructive surgery of the face, as well as aesthetic surgery of the breast and body.
Dr. Cusano will be taking over here at the Jacobs Center in 2026. He is fellowship trained in three different disciplines, including craniofacial plastic surgery from the world-renowned Johns Hopkins Hospital. We're excited to welcome Dr. Cusano as he brings the latest techniques and procedures to us in Sonoma County.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs. And if you've been thinking about an aesthetic procedure, I invite you to give me a call at the Jacobs Center or reach out online at thejacobscenter.com. I'm looking forward to meeting new patients and sharing in your personal journey to becoming your best self, both inside and out.
For more information about procedures offered by the Jacobs Center, visit thejacobscenter.com. That's thejacobscenter.com.
Oh, man, I can't believe this.
Hey, Greg. Whoa, your car. You got sideswiped.
Yeah, just what I need, another pain in the neck.
Sorry, man. But hey, I know an auto body guy.
No thanks. I have an auto body guy.
No, seriously. You should go to Randy Hansen Auto Body.
Wow, Randy Hansen is my auto body guy.
Oh, that's awesome. I took my car there after my accident last year, and the front office people were great. I had no problem getting...
This week on My Sonoma Deals, get a $100 experience at Sensei Winery for just $50. Discover rare small lot varietals crafted with a rich family heritage tracing back to Croatia. Whether you choose a classic tasting with charcuterie for four or an exclusive VIP barrel tasting for two, you will experience the authentic Mediterranean spirit in every pour. Grab your $100 voucher for only $50 today at MySonomaDeals.com.
Listen to the good stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on KSRO. I'm your host, Virginie Boone, and every week I'll be joined by the president of Sonoma County Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We chat with members of Sonoma County's vibrant wine and agricultural community and share